take that dice cool.
We started the Mishnah on Samach Dalel on Meralef last week. We dedicate the learning tonight to the Ilan Nishmas Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Tzvi and Rabbi Gold has the archetype for his mother, the Ilan Nishmas Yisha Rivka Leah Bas Tzvi. So again, in the days of the Tanaim, they have no way of ascertaining if a couple didn't have any children, is the problem with the husband? Is there a medical problem with the husband? Is there a medical problem with the wife? And maybe neither has a medical problem. Maybe together it doesn't work. Maybe men hashamayim then hatzecha to have children together. So we don't know whose fault it is. So the Mishnah has. So they had no way of ascertaining. So the Mishnah has a din. Nasa isha v'shoyim ha'esu shonim. Couple is married 10 years. The lo yodah, she didn't have any children. And what's going to be with the mitzvah period review? He's going to remain with this wife. If he's married 10 years, he doesn't have any children, probably not going to have any children later either with her. So it says, what does it mean? So the Brice and the Gemara, right after the Mishnah, says, Tarabonon, they quote a Tosefta, and it says in the Tosefta, Yoitzi. Yoitzi means he's mechuyev to divorce her. And the long Tosfos, Dima Masl Yoitzi, Tosfos shows from the Gemara's and Yavam's, Yoitzi means Kofen Osel Lahotzi. Even if he doesn't want to, he insists that he has to get divorced and he has to marry someone else. We mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, they raised the question whether it still applies Bizman Hazeh, because the Gemara has in the end of Cheskas HaBatim that at the time of the Churban Baisheni, the Balabatim suggested to the Rabbanim, maybe we should make a gzera, no one should marry and have any children. We'll just have more children for the Nazis to kill. So the Chachamim said it's an interesting idea, but the Rebbe Atziba Nat Yochadam Lamed Boy, people are going to want to get married. A good-looking boy and a good-looking girl. They want to marry each other. So the gzera is not going to work. But because there was such a consideration, more correct maybe is that we shouldn't have any children. So that's why it says that we're not koife and peribur review. In the days of the Gemara, apparently if a boy remained single, they would be koife him to get married. Who are they going to koife him? Who are they going to force him to marry? I don't know which girl is going to want to marry him if he does want to get married. I don't know. But that's apparently there would be koife. Here, there would be koi for the man to get divorced from his wife. Then there would be koi for him to marry someone else. Or he can marry another wife. Okay, if he can afford to, if he has enough time, if he can afford to take care of two wives, you wouldn't force him to get divorced, you'd force him to marry another wife. That was rare, even before the Chaim de Rabbeinu Gershom, it was not common. You have dinim at the end of the second perek in Yevamos, earlier in the Masechta, that are based on the assumption that it was rare that a person would have two wives. It was unusual. So he has to give his wife a get. Girsha, so now the Shaila is, he divorced his wife because they didn't have children 10 years. Is she allowed to marry someone else? She can't have any children, so she's going to marry someone else who doesn't have any children, so he's going to be wasting his time. How is he going to fulfill period? So he says, no. Just because she was married for 10 years, she didn't have children, doesn't mean that it's her fault. Maybe it's his fault. Maybe neither has a medical problem. Maybe it's men hashamayim. They shouldn't have children together. So girshim muteris li'inasa lachir. She's permitted to marry another husband. V'rashay hasheni li'shasim. What if the second husband is married already 5, 6, 7, 8 years and they don't have any children? Doesn't it show that she has a medical problem? No, not until 10 years. V'rashay hasheni li'shasim ha'yuchonim. She's allowed to stay with the second husband. And that's it. So what's with the third husband? Doesn't say in the Mishnah. What's with the fourth husband? Doesn't say. Mishnah is b'chiv to pekalois. Third husband, fourth husband. Maybe it's lavdavka. So the Gemara says no. There's a machlekes rabbi, Reb Shimon Gamliel. How many times does an unusual thing have to repeat itself that you can raise a suffix that maybe there's a pattern over here? The woman is married, how often does that happen? A couple is married 10 years, they don't have children. Very unusual. So if it happens 2 times, is that enough to create a latest hasafik that maybe there's a problem with this woman? So if she got divorced the second time, the Mishnah doesn't say she's allowed to marry a third time. So the Gemara says, it would appear, Shenien, Then the Gemara on the base picks it up. Sheni and Shlishi Loi. The Mishnah doesn't say she's allowed to marry a third time. It sounds from the Mishnah, Masnisa Mani Rebbe, he did times Machleg is Rebbe Rab Shimon Gamliel. How many times does an unusual thing have to repeat itself? Not that we can predict that if she marries a third time she will not have children. No, it's a latest of suffix. And if it's a suffix, so we would not recommend that someone who doesn't have children yet should marry her. She's already married 10 years to the first husband, 10 years to the second husband. We would recommend she shouldn't marry a third husband.
Similar to a katlanis.
And the Gemara quotes katlanis, right. Similar to katlanis. Katlanis means a woman was married once and the husband died. And then she married a second time, the husband died. So does that create a later sasufik? Does it not create any later sasufik about anything? Husband died? So maybe it creates a later sasufik that it's a suffix hakon. If you marry this woman, you're going to die. So maybe no one should marry her. So that's a machlek, because Rebbe Rav Shem Gamliel, how many times does the husband have to die that it should create a suffix sakonis nefoshes? After the second husband already, she's not allowed to get married? Or only after, that's called katlana, she's bumping off her husbands. So today we usually make a lanat. I have a girl cousin, so her first husband was a kollel guy who had a heart condition before he got married. And they had, I think they had some children, and he died from his heart condition. He died at a very young age. And then her second husband was at least 20 years older than her. That was her teacher in Maimonides. My uncle taught Maimonides yeshiva in Boston. So she married the teacher and he died at a ripe old age. He was never married before. So that was her second husband. He died at old age. He was much older than her. And then her third husband was a regular guy who had a job. My uncle was kidding. His daughter finally married a guy who works for a living. The first husband was a kolonik and the second husband was a retiree. And the third husband was a regular normal guy. So what happened to the dinim of katlanis? The first husband died. So the poskim say, we know what the cause of death. First husband had a heart condition before he got married. They all predicted, the doctors all thought he was going to die young. Second husband was an older person, so he died at an old age. The only time there's a din of katlanis, the only time there's an issue is if you don't know the reason for the death. So the Gemara says, so what is it all about? So the Gemara gives two explanations. Maybe mokar garin, maybe living with this woman, having marital relations with this woman, causes some mysterious sickness that the Chazal didn't know what it was. Maybe it's mokar garin. So if she was only married with Erisin, they weren't living together yet, then there wouldn't be an issue of katlanis, according to that suggestion. Or maybe the issue of katlanis is that mazal kar, maybe menashamayim, they want that she should be a vista almana. They want that she shouldn't be married. but if you know the reason, let's say if the reason for it is mokar garim, that maybe living with this woman conveys a sickness. There are such sicknesses that are transmitted by having marital relations. So the Gemara is concerned about that. Yeah, but if you know the reason, if you know the cause of death, then we make a lot of that.
So the same thing here. If she married an older person, it's not. I have a 90-year-old, so...
The Gemara says like that. If you can attribute the fact that they don't have children because he was sick, she was sick, or there was aggravation or something going on, what time or something, then the Gemara says the whole din doesn't apply to Shoyas Hashanim, yeah. So the Shoyas Hashanim, that's a real din in the Mishnah. She was married to two husbands. She didn't have children 10 years, the first husband 10 years, for the second husband. Then the Gemara says, Taka, the third husband shouldn't marry her if he has not yet fulfilled Piriviri, because it's a suffix. Two times in a row is a suffix that she may have a medical problem, she can't have children. The Katlanis, that in Shulchan Aruch they quoted Chuvas HaRambam. The Rambam quotes from the Rimigash. The Rimigash was a Talmud of the Rif in Spain. The Rif lived in Fez. Fez is in Morocco. So the Rif lived in, that's why he's called Rabbi Yitzchak Al-Fazi, because he lived in Fez. He lived in Fez till the age of 75, and he had a yeshiva there. And then he had to run away because there was some kind of, the government accused him of doing something illegal. So he had to run away to Spain. So at the age of 75, he started his second career in Spain. And all the famous Talmidim are from the second career after the age of 75. He lived till 90. So he was teaching Torah in Spain. So one of his talmidim, Rabbi Yehuda Levi, was a talmid of the Rif, and the Rif Magash was a talmid of the Rif in the second career. The Rambam's father, Rabbi Naimon, learned by the Rif Magash, and the Rambam writes that his father took him to get a bracha by the Rif Magash, and he gave him a bracha. He should be matzlich in learning. So he attributed his success in learning to that bracha that he got from the Rif Magash. That's why there's a Beis Shmuel, we must have mentioned it. There's a Beis Shmuel in Ebenezer. There's a din habal yorishes ishtoi. Let's say a couple is married and the wife dies. So the blood relatives are her children. Or if she doesn't have any children, her father or her brothers or sisters. But the husband gets the Yerushin. That's a machlekes, whether that's a din deraisa, din derabanan. Habal yorishes ishtoi is a machlekes hatanoim. What is the Raisa de Rabbanon? Because he's not a blood relative. And it's a machlekes how we paskin Allah HaMaisa. The Rambam paskin Zabal Yerusha Sishta is only with the Rabbanon. And the Rabbi paskin Zabal Yerusha Sishta is a din de Raisa. And if you're not Kaminis Ledina, so the Mishnah has a din in Pcheres. Abal Yerusha Sishta, he only Yarshins b'muchsuk and not b'ra'oi. Let's say a couple is married and the wife dies. After the wife dies, then the father-in-law dies. So the Yorish is the wife, but the wife died before the father died. So she doesn't get the father's Yerusha to transmit it to her husband. She's what we call she Yarshins Bekever. She predeceased her father. So she gets the Yerusha from her father and it goes to her children. Whatever she had at the time of death, whatever asset she has in her name, in her bank account, the husband gets. The bank account is a shot. But that's a machlekes. Whatever asset she has, go to the husband's. But whatever she gets after death, that the husband doesn't get. So there's such a din in Chumash b'negeh to Bchor. It says, Bchor ben asnua yakeh losla pishnayim, b'chol asher yimotzi lo. The Bchor gets a double portion. Double portion means, let's say there are three sons. Instead of dividing the Rush into three parts, you treat the Bchor as if he's two children. So you divide the Rush into four parts, and he gets two-fourths. If there are seven sons, so you divide the Rush into eight shares, and the Bchor gets 2/8. If there are 12 sons, so you divide the Rush into 13 parts, and he gets 2 shares. However many children there are, he gets a double share. So that pasuk says, Yosla pishan b'chol asher yimotzi lo. The Bchor only gets pishnayim on the assets that the father has in his hand at the time of death. What if the father died, and after he died, then there's this, that he bought the... He bought the ticket for the Irish sweepstakes, or for the Breuer's sweepstakes, whatever yeshivas have lotteries, and after the father died, then his ticket is a winning ticket. So the Gemara said the Bchor doesn't get pishnayim. Or let's say Avram Yitzchak and Yankov. So let's say that's not what happened. Let's say Yitzchak dies first before Avram. Yitzchak is a multimillionaire and Avram is a multimillionaire. So Yitzchak dies first. And he had two sons, Yankov and Esav. So let's say, for argument's sake, Yankov is the Bchor. That's not the way it happened. Let's say Yankov is the Bchor and Esav is the Pashut, is not the Bchor. So the two sons, you divide into three. So Yankov gets 2/3 and Esav gets 1/3. And after Yitzchak dies, then Avram Avinu dies. That's how it might happen, but let's say it would happen like that. So Nichse Davua Da'abo, the Yerusha from the grandfather, that goes to Yitzchak, the kever, after Yitzchak died already, then the Yarshim's from Avraham Avinu, so Yankov doesn't get pishnayim in that. What about a halvoa? Let's say while Yitzchak was alive, he lent out money. Or he put money in a savings account. So if you have money in a safe deposit vault, so the money sits there. So that's a pikudin. So the Bchor gets pishnayim. But if they have money in a savings account, they don't let the money sit there. If the money sits there, why should they give you interest? They take the money and they invest it, and they get a lot of ribbis, and they give you a little peanuts. They give you a little bit of ribbis. So the money that you have in a savings account is a halvor. So let's say the father lent money in the days of Gemara. They didn't have an institution of banks that give interest, so they have a halvor. So let's say the father, while he was alive, lent out money to a loiva, and after the father dies, after they said shiva, so the loiva comes and he pays up the chayiv. Does the bchor get pishnayim? And the halva, the father didn't have the cash during his lifetime. He had the cash originally, but he lent it to the loiva. Then the loiva pays back the cash after the father died. So on the one hand, The father had it before he lent it out. But on the other hand, the father didn't have it at the moment of death. So that's a machloikes hatanaim. I mean, we paskan that that's called rotwi, that's not called muchzak. So that's a big, and then, okay, so the b'chor doesn't get pishnaim on that. So that's a big shaila. What about the money in the savings account? Let's say you have money in a savings account, so that's really a halvoya. So the b'chor doesn't get pishnaim on that. And maybe you should say, no, a b'chor doesn't get pishnaim on a halvoya, because till you get back to halvoya, it may take you forever. So that's called ro'u. You're entitled to get it, but it's not muchzak. But a savings account, you can go to the bank any day, and the mechuyev to give you. They're not mechuyev to give you $100,000. They're mechuyev to give you till a certain amount, $20,000. There's an amount of money. And some banks, you can withdraw the money in the middle of the night. You go to the machine, you take out the money. There's a limit how much you can take out on your own. So maybe if you have, and the banks are all federally insured, FDIC, whatever it is. So if it's federally insured, some achronim hold that that's called muchzak, unless the government collapses and the government is not holding by collapsing yet, the government is still holding. So that was a big machlokes. If the bank is federally insured, so that's a machlokes in the Nodi Behuda. The shoyel thought that if you have a bank, by the days of Nadi Behuda they already had banks. Nadi Behuda lived in the 1700s. So by the days of Nadi Behuda they had banks and they were federally insured, some of them. So the shoyel thought that that's called muchzor, that that's not called roi. A halvor is called roi, and the b'chor doesn't get pishnayim, that's a halvor to a private person. But the money in the bank, that for sure you're going to get back, so that's called muchzor. And the Nadi Behuda has a short tshuva, he thinks it's not correct. He thinks all halvoras are pidin roi, and the b'chor doesn't get pishnayim. I think they say Rav Moshe held like the shoyel. The shoyelim and the tshuva, a lot of times they were big talmid chacham, sometimes they were balbatim, and sometimes they were big talmid chacham. So I think the Aruch HaShulchan also likes, in this issue, he holds like the shoyel, that the money in the bank is called muchzik, it's not called roi. So that's a shayla. We have two dinim that depend on roi versus muchzik versus roi. A bal yorosh hasishta is only muchzik and not roi, and a b'chor natal pishnayim is only muchzik and not roi. So when you get to b'chor not getting pishnayim, that's a machlekes in the Gemara. What's a din of halvoa? And we paskan halvoa is also called roi. It's not called muchzik. And the bank is a shayla whether the bank is also like halvoa or the bank is called muchzik. That's a machlekes to shayla and the Nadi Behuda. So the shayla is what about habal yorosh hasishta? Maybe the husband only gets the irusha from the wife. If it's muchzak, if it's roi, doesn't get, maybe that's only if her father dies after she died. The fellow's married, and the wife dies before the husband, and after the wife dies, then the father-in-law dies. So the wife yashin's bekever, so she knows the yashin bekever to give over to the husband. Or if she bought a ticket, a sweepstakes ticket, and the drawing was after her death. So that's really roi. But what about a halvor? If the wife lent out money, or the wife put the money in a savings account. That's often the case. The wife put the money in a savings account. So after she dies, is that called roi, that the husband doesn't get, or is that called muchzak? So that was a machloikis. That was machloikis, the Reed Megash and everybody else. So the Reed Megash has a Gemara in Bava Kamma, has a different girsa from what we have. The Gemara talks about kaifer. If a shor amud kills an odom, so the Baal HaShor has to pay koifer to the Yorshim. So the koifer is not collectible, kolzman, the person is still alive. After the person is dead, then the Yorshim have a right to collect. So the Reed Megash has a girsa in the Gemara that the only time the husband doesn't get beroi ke mamuch, the husband doesn't yarshin beroi ke mamuch, so that's only if the wife doesn't get the schus to the mom until after she dies. Her father dies after she died, or her sweepstakes ticket, the drawing took place after she died. But if she had a halvor that she lent to someone, that's called roi by p'chor, but that's not called roi by habal yorosh hasishta, that's called muchzor. It's a different definition of roi. That's how the Reed Megash holds. And Tosfos, and the Rosh always same as Tosfos, the long Tosfos in b'choris, so Tosfos said, and Ksuvos also, so Tosfos says that it's the same din. Just like halvor is called ro'ui, it's very halacha l'maisa. I remember years ago, the first time I was in Eretz Yisrael, there was such a din Torah. and the Bez Din in Tel Aviv. All the big Bati Dinim then used to be in Tel Aviv. So Rav Unterman was the chief rabbi, and his Zivik Sheni, his second wife, was the Almana of Rav Shlomo Hyman. Shlomo Hyman used to be in Tarvidas, no? Mm-hmm. I think so. They used to make fun that she used to be mad because Rav Unterman was from the Mizrahi. He was from the Ravanut. He was the chief of Sashay. They used to joke that she used to be married to Hai Man. Shlomo Hai Man. And then she married on Unterman. That was the joke that they made. So she passed away. So apparently she was a wealthy woman. She had real estate and she had a lot of money in the bank. So the money in the bank, it wasn't in a safe deposit vault sitting there. It was money that was being invested by the bank. So according to the Neri Behuda, the money in the bank is a milveh. And according to Taisus, the Baal doesn't get Beroi Kema Mukhsa, because that's the money halvah is called Roi. It's not called Mukhsak. And the Rimagash disagrees. The Rimagash held that by a Baal Yoshe Sish, it's called Mukhsak. So we don't really pass like the Rimagash. We don't really pass. So there's a Beishmuel, and there's a Magen Mishnah thinks that the Rambam holds like the Rimagash. So the Beishmuel talks about there's a concept in Choshem Ish, but let's say that there's a Din Torah. In every issue, there's a machlokes. Rishayin Macham was always on a machlokes on everything. So let's say the bezin gives a psak. According to Rav HaPoskim, the din is that he has to pay. And the one who has to pay says, Kimli, I hold like that shita. There's a shita mukobetzin somewhere has a shita that says I'm potter. And I'm holding on to the money. It's in my bank account. Or it's in my stuff, in my mattress. I'm the muchzak on the money. So he can say, Kimli, I hold like that shita. So he can't force him to pay the money. So the shaila is, you only say kimli if it's a minority opinion that's a significant minority. What if it's a shita yechido? There's a mi'iri. No one else agrees with the mi'iri. Mi'iri always has some oddball shita, always some strange shita. Or you have a rimagash that nobody else agrees to. Are you shita yechido? Only one rishon holds like that. So you can't say kimli like a shita yechido that's in ganzen nitchem and halacha. You have to have at least two major poskim have to say like that. So the Magen Mishnah says, Magen Mishnah on the side of the Rambam thinks that the Rambam agrees with the Rimagash on this, that a Baal doesn't get Beroi Kema Mukhsak, doesn't apply to Halvoi. If the wife had the money, she lent it at Halvoi, collected after death, the Halvoi is called Roy by Pchor, but it's not called Roy by Baal. So the Magen Mishnah thinks that the Rambam agrees. So that's not a Shita Yechido. The Rambam is a major Poskim, and the Rimagash is a major Poskim. So maybe if the husband is muchzak on the wife's money, maybe you can say kimli kishita sari megash. So the Beis Shmuel HaNebuchadnezzar makes a statement. He says the Rambam is so kofuf to the Rimagash because he gave him a bracha when he was a little child that he should be matzliach on learning, and he attributed his success in learning to that bracha. The Rambam is so kofuf. Every so often he'll disagree with the Rimagash. He writes in one place the Rimagash was a sichlo mavis b'chol ha-talmud. He was a super genius. He writes, he was so blinded by the greatness of the Rimagash. Sichlo mavis b'chol ha-talmud. So he says, the Rambam is going to follow the Rimagash blindly unless he's really convinced that he's wrong. So he said, the fact that even if it's true that the Rambam agrees with the Rimagash, that still counted as a shita yechido. Because he was so kofuf to the Rimagash, of course he's going to say the same. You have to have two independent thinkers who hold like that. That's a famous Beis Shmuel and Ebenezer. So here there's a famous Chuvus HaRambam that they quote in Ebenezer. The Rambam quotes the Rimagash. He had a tradition. The Rimagash would read Shiduchim to an Isha who was a Katlanis. He said, the whole thing is a Baba Maisa over here. This whole story with the Rimagash, this is for superstitious people. Aliba Damas, there's no Mazel Gorm and there's no Mokah Gorm. There is no such thing. The guy died. Two people died. What does it have to do with her? It's not the fault of the wife. So, but what does the Gemara talk about it so seriously? So the Rambam writes in the Tshuva that he quotes the Rimagash, for those people who are concerned about this, the Chazal didn't say that it's Asr, but it's in a certain sense it's Nichush, he doesn't go for the whole thing, and he would pask and it's always Mutter. He didn't hold an old story of Katlanis, but he says for those people who are concerned, so Gemara gives you guiding principles when you don't have to be concerned. Afila lefishi toscha. But not that the Gemara held it's a real deal. If the woman was married twice, 10 years, with two different husbands, she never had any children, so then she's not allowed, we would not permit her to marry a third husband if he doesn't have any children yet, because that's a real suffix. Maybe there's a medical problem why she can't have children. So if it happened two times in a row, that she was married for 10 years and no children, then you're not allowed to marry her unless you have already fulfilled Piribiribi. But the Katlana story, the whole thing is Baba Maisa. So they quote this in Shulchan Aruch. The commentary, Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it, but on the bottom of the page they all quote. So whenever there's Dorim Lahakal, so they're always Mekal. We know what caused the death. This guy had a heart condition before he got married in the first place. The other one was older. He was an older person, so he died at a ripe old age. If we know what the cause of death is, you don't have to be concerned about the Mokar Gorim. Maybe the sickness was communicated by marital relation. There are such sicknesses. But we know the cause of death. It's not that. And the Mazel Gorim also, what do you mean? Maybe Min HaShemayim, they wanted to be a Vista Almana. But she's not a Vista Almana. She's a wealthy woman. She makes a lot of money. She runs a business. She's not suffering. She's a cheerful Almana. A happy widow. She's not a Vista Almana. So how can you even say that Mazel Gorim? So that's what the Rimagash holds. That whole thing is above a mice. Here at the end of the second perik in Yevamos, there's a machlokes, Rashi and Tosis. Rashi holds, most of the Rishonim seem to hold that this katlanis is a real issue. You're not allowed to marry a woman who's a katlanis. Not stam, for those who are concerned. So the Gemara is giving you guidelines, but there's no reason to be concerned. Pashtus, most of the Rishonim assume that it is a real concern, that you may die. So the shaila is, what if a woman was divorced twice? Not that she was nisamala twice. What if she was divorced twice? So there's a Gemara here, the top tesis on Chavov and Aleph in Yevamos. So the Gemara says, if a woman was divorced, the simple reading of the Gemara, if a woman was divorced twice, she's not allowed to get married a third time. Why? What's going to happen? The working God happening going to get divorced again. So, and Taisa says it's not love davkin. Agamisa noka gersh, I'm feeling this gersh gam pomim, shari linosa. The top Taisa says that the Loshan Gemara is not meduyak. It's not, there is no such thing. But Rashi, so in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rashi. The Rashi learns the Gemara kipshuto, that if a woman is divorced twice, you're not allowed to marry her the third time. Why? A person is not allowed to cause sickness, he's not allowed to commit suicide. Person doesn't own his life, that he has a right to take his life, and he's not only not allowed to commit suicide, not allowed to also biatzmo. Let's say I'll put myself in a makom sakan and I may break my bones. So you're not allowed to do that, and you're not allowed to cause aggravation to yourself. If you have two choices in life, you can go this way or that way. Go this way, you're going to have aggravation. So don't look for aggravation. So Rashi learns you're not allowed to marry a woman who's divorced twice. Because the fact that she was divorced twice creates a latest asafik. Maybe she's a difficult person to get along with, and maybe you'll also have to get divorced. You're just causing yourself aggravation. So in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes that Rashi. He quotes it Ledina, even though the Tosfos says that it's not correct. Anyway, so this is the topic that the Gemara is going to talk about.
Is it a problem with Aaron Onon and Tamar and Shelah?
That's how some Mefarshim say that was the issue of Katlanis, yeah.
So
the Rimagash shows that it's also Baba Maisa. It's not so. Not so. The Sfarim don't hold up there, huh? Yeah, Sfarim. The Sfarim don't worry about any Rabbis. Nunu. Often it does happen. A woman who's divorced twice, often we will see she will get divorced a third time.
This past week I saw it. The woman got divorced four times.
Yeah.
How does the 10 years apply today when we know that the woman can't get divorced?
Today they can the tests to tell where the problem is. So if you can ascertain that it's the woman's problem, then she really get divorced before the 10 years are up. It's not right to wait 10 years. Even in the days of the Gemara is going to raise a possibility that. Where they learn out 10 years is based on the pasuk by Avraham Avinu. So Gemara is going to suggest on a base, maybe in the days of Avraham Avinu, when people lived to the age of 175, so then it's 10 years. But today, who has 10 years to wait? We're not going to live so long. Davan HaMelech says, so it's a half. So maybe it should be way less than 10. Maybe it should be 5 years. Maybe it should be 2.5 years. The Gemara makes such a suggestion. Gemara says, no, it's like 10 years. Because of the day, the Mishnayos were written after David HaMelech. David HaMelech already wrote in Tehillim Shana. And still, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi lived after, way after, centuries after David HaMelech, and he says that the 10 years still apply. So you can't say the 10 years is only in the days of the Tanakh, when people lived to the age of 175. But Bizman is there, everything is half. You see, it's not so. So that's still quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, but if you have a test to tell, the husband is infertile. Whoever he's going to marry is not going to have any children. So you have to discuss artificial dissemination or something, whether you want to do that. But if you can ascertain it's the problem, the medical problems with the husband, the whole thing doesn't apply. And if you see there's a medical problem with the woman, and he wants to have children, so what's he going to wait 10 years? What is he wasting his time? The whole thing, the whole 10 years only applies in the days of the Gemara, that they didn't have a way to test, to determine where the source of the problem is. So that's what used to be 10 years. Now, as a Shaila, does he have to pick Suba? He doesn't want to get divorced. The Bezin, it says Yoitzi. And Taisa's the first Taisa. Yoitzi means the Kai for him, the Garish Ashishtai. It says Yoitzi, we eat in Ksuba. He has to pay the Ksuba. Why does he have to pay the Ksuba? If you don't know, what's the rule? I think we discussed a little bit last week. What's the rule when they pay Ksuba, when not? So that's in Ksuba's Dafayim base. It's not over here. So the Mishnah says if the cause, whenever they fell in love, they got married, they fell out of love, they want to get divorced, they're bored with each other. It's no one's fault. No one's fault. So the din is the husband has to pick Ksuba. Or if it's the fault of the husband becomes a Baal Tshuva all of a sudden. When they got married, they were not observing Taras HaMishpacha, they didn't keep kosher. All of a sudden, Ve'et HaMishuga, he wants to keep kosher, he wants to keep Taras HaMishpacha, she doesn't want to go along with him. So he wants to divorce her. So that's his decision. He wants to be religious. They didn't. That wasn't agreed upon in the beginning of the marriage. So if he wants to divorce her, he has to pay her the ksuba money. If when they got married, it was understood that they're going to observe Taras HaMishpacha, observe kashrus, and then he finds out that she's not going to mikveh. She's been with him the last couple of months. Misham shasa nida or machilos sheinu meusar. They live in Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnahs were written in Eretz Yisrael. So everything grows in Eretz Yisrael. You have to be mafresh shumas and maisis on everything. If you're not mafresh shumas and maisis, it's an isa tevel. So he discovers when he got married, it was understood that everything is going to be with kashrus and taras hamishpacha. Then he finds out that she's been feeding him non-kosher food the last couple months or the last couple years, whatever. So then it's grounds for divorce because she's ruining the marriage. That was understood in the marriage. But if after they're married, she decides she doesn't want to keep Shabbos anymore, and he wants to divorce her, that doesn't affect the marriage. She's keeping a kosher home, and she's diapering the babies, and she's doing the laundry, and she's gone to Taras HaMishpachos, so everything is fine. But to get to the marriage, it's fine. He feels uncomfortable. His wife is not keeping Shabbos. So that's your decision. So whenever it's the fault of the husband, whenever he can ascertain it's nobody's fault or the fault of the husband, then he pays ksuba. But whenever you can pin the blame on her, she is at fault for the divorce. She's mekalelos yolda befonim. She's disrespectful to the in-laws. That's considered a condition in the marriage. Or she decides she doesn't want to go to mikveh. She decides she doesn't want to have any children. That's understood. You don't have to talk about that. It's understood when you get married. It's understood you want to have children. Unless he made up in advance, we don't want to have children. But if he didn't say one or the other, it's understood you do want to have children. And then after they get married, then she tells him the good news. She doesn't want to have children. So whenever it's the fault of the wife that the marriage was broken up, then you don't have to pay ksuba. That's what we mentioned last week on that Mishnah, and ksuba is the fine base. Or one case was one of them decides they're living in New York for some reason. One of them decides, I'm going on Aliyah, moving to Eretz Yisrael. The other one said, what are you, crazy? All the relatives, all the family, everybody lives here. I don't want to go on Aliyah. So the one who wants to go on Aliyah has the gerechte taina. And the one who does want to go is considered ruining the marriage. Because the spouse that does want to go with the other one is whoever wants to go to Eretz Yisrael has the gerechte taina. And the one who does want to go is considered ruining the marriage. So if it's the wife who doesn't want to go, even though she has the normal taina, we got married in New York, we lived in New York the last 50 years. Where do you get this new bug? You want to move to Eretz Yisrael. So we say the one who wants to stay behind is breaking up the marriage. In that case, the wife doesn't get the ksuba. She's not a type. So that's a machlekes in the Ran, on that Mishnah. The Ran has machlekes, but the Ravid, I think, is that a penalty? We penalize the woman for ruining the marriage? Well, it's not a penalty. It's not a penalty. The whole takonis ksuba was only if it's no one's fault or the husband's fault. If the wife, if the cause for the divorce is from the wife, then they never made a takon in the first place. Not that you're penalizing. What's the difference whether you say it's a penalty, it's a punishment because she ruined the marriage, or it's just that there's no takon? The question is, what if the husband doesn't know that she hasn't been going to mikveh? She tells him this. After a couple of years, she tells him, by the way, I haven't been going to mikveh the last couple of years, and she was sleeping with her husband anyway. So they say, ain't on a meis matzmei rosha. You have no right to believe her, to penalize her, to take away the ksuba. But he say, no, it's not a penalty. If the wife is at fault for breaking up the marriage, then there's no takanas ksuba. It's not an oinish because we ascertain she did something wrong. Ain't on a meis matzmei rosha. You don't believe the person that he did an aver. Let's say the person admits that he stole $1 million from the bank. So he does badink many of them. You got to pay up the $1 million. Aye, but you don't believe him that he stole. You don't believe him that he stole. You believe him that he owes $1 million. So here, you don't believe her that she's violating Taras HaMishpacha. You believe her that she doesn't deserve ksuba. But if the loss of the ksuba is because it's a penalty for the woman because she did the avera, she ruined the marriage, so then you would say, we wouldn't be believed. So that's a machlokes. Is that a penalty or not? So here, the shaila is, why do you pay her the ksuba? You don't know where is the problem. Maybe he's infertile, maybe she's infertile. You don't know who was at fault. Maybe Taka, she has a medical problem. And if it's her problem, if the reason why they can't have children is her medical problem, then he shouldn't have to pay her ksuba. So in the days of the Gemara, they had no way of ascertaining. So shouldn't it be a moitza machavera all of her right? The husband is muchzak on the ksuba money. And we don't know, we tell him after 10 years of living together, they have no children, we insist he has to get divorced and marry someone else. Maybe it's the fault of the wife that they don't have children. So why does he have to pay ksuba if you're not sure? If you're not sure, you should say, I'm going to ask that question. Whenever you have a suffix. In the first parak, there's a machloikas habai verove. The whole takanas ksuba was, machloikas, but the ksuba is a din deraisa, din derabon. Most of the Rishonim paskin, the ksuba lav deraisa. The Re Balatesis and the first Perik. The Re holds that Ksubas deraisa. The Ashkenazi Ksubas, that's how it says. That I'm going to give you the Masayim Zuz, the Chasilichami deraisa. That's how it says in Ashkenazi Ksubas. So the Re Balatesis proves in that Loshan of the Ksuba, that Ksubas deraisa. But all the Rishonim reject it. We don't pass on like that. We pass on Ksuba lav deraisa. What does that Loshan mean? It means something else. Doesn't mean that ksuba is deraisa. So the Gemara says, what motivated the Chachamim? We assume that ksuba is lav deraisa. What motivated the Chachamim to introduce ksuba? Why did they make such a takana? So the Gemara says, kadei shaloi talak, shaloi tehe kala be'enav lohitzia. If the man won't have to give any ksuba, so on a whim, he may decide he's going to divorce his wife and marry a younger girl. And I'll get away with it. So in order to strengthen the family ties, in order to strengthen the family, then we say it's not so easy to divorce you. Well, you got to pay a fortune of money, so that'll serve as a deterrent, that people shouldn't quickly divorce their wife. So there's one opinion in the first parak, there's Machleg Zabai Verove. Where is it? Oh, it's in Ksubas. I'm looking the wrong besichta. It's in Ksubas in the first parak. So the machlokes habai v'rova, there's one opinion that because shalei tekala b'ayin of loitzia, so we treat the ksuba as if it's an issue of isa v'heta. We don't treat it like dini mamonos that you should say amotza machaber olaf araya, that the husband is muchzak whenever there's a suffix, so you can't be moitzi the mamon from the husband. The husband is not considered muchzak as a concept in dini mamonos. We treat the ksuba as if it were isa v'heta. But we don't hold like that opinion. There's machlokes habai, but we don't hold like that. We all that ksuba is whatever the reason for ksuba is, maybe the nice isa v'heta dikka reasons, we treat it as if it's a chiyuv mamon. And whenever there's a suffix in paying ksuba, it's a motzei b'chal v'raya, the husband doesn't have to pay. So that's what the Gemara is going to raise an issue. Why does it say after 10 years, yotzei eating ksuba, maybe she has a medical problem, so maybe she's the cause for the divorce? So whenever she's at fault for the divorce, it's not a penalty for something that she did wrong. But whenever she has a medical problem, he's not mechuyev to pay the ksuba. So the Gemara is going to ask that question. Then the Gemara says, and where does this come from, the whole concept of waiting 10 years? Meaning it's not an ironclad raya, it's a smach. It says Avram Avinu lived in Ur Kasdim, and after many years he finally didn't have any children with his wife Sarah. After many years, he finally moved to Eretz Yisrael, and then it says, Miketzah Shishalom Neshevus Avram the Eretz Canaan, after living 10 years and he still didn't have any children in Eretz Yisrael, then finally he marries Hagar. He takes his second wife. Why didn't he take his second wife before? Because he had up until 10 years, but he was married for way more than 10 years. He was married 10 years in Eretz Yisrael. Miketzah Shishalom Neshevus Avram the Eretz Canaan. So the Braisa says, Lalamdach, the Mashmos of the Pasuk teaches you, maybe the fact that you live in Chutz Laretz, maybe that's the reason. You're not supposed to live in Chutz Laretz. It's maybe because of the Avera, or the Bitla Mitzvah, however you want to word, the Bitla Mitzvah, you're living in Chutz Laretz, maybe that's a punishment. Maybe that's why you don't have any children. If you move there, it's yourself. So if you live in Chutz Laretz 10 years and you don't have children, maybe it's your fault. Maybe it's because you're living in Chutz Laretz. You have no right to divorce your wife. If you live in Eretz Yisrael 10 years and you don't have children, so then you learn that from the pasuk.
But the Avram's time, 10 years was different than today, 10 years.
Right.
So we shouldn't be able to take a raya.
Right, that's what the Gemara raises, that objection. So the Gemara says, it's a good tataina. 10 years was they had 180 years, they had a long life. Yeah, today everything is a fiesta. But nonetheless, the Mishnah, you're right, but the Mishnah has still the din of 10 years. There's no ray from the Pasuk to the days in the Mishnah, but the Mishnah says, still says, that's why it's afal pei shein ray ledover, it's only a zecha ledover. It's not a law, an ironclad ray. Yeah. So that's what the Braisa says from the Mashmos of the Pasuk is, that avoin chutz laretz, sometimes because you live in chutz laretz, that's why you're not zecha to have any children. So therefore, lefichach, the Braisa says, let's say they're living in Eretz Yisrael and they don't have children for 10 years, but he was sick part of the time, and she was sick part of the time, and they had aggravation, they had different things. So maybe the reason why they don't have children is because of the sickness. They didn't have such good medicine like we have today. Some sicknesses cause some aggravation. Sometimes aggravation prevents a person from having children, sometimes not. So that's what the Braisa says, lefichach. Since the Braisa tells you that Avon Chutz Laretz is sometimes Gairim, so therefore the Ficha, Cholahu, Shechol Sahi, if he was sick part of the 10 years, or she was sick, or Shnem Chavushim and Beis HaSurim, or let's say they were in prison for a period of time, being in prison is very aggravating. So aggravation can also cause you to not be able to have any children. So that's all those years where there's aggravation or sickness, that doesn't count for the 10 years. Married 10 years and you don't have children means 10 years everything was smooth sailing, no aggravation and no sicknesses. Yeah. Taisis in Masechus Shabbos in the first parak points out, Avoin Chutz Laretz Goyrim. In the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, HaKadosh Baruch appears to Avraham Avinu and says, Lech Lecha Me'artzcha Me'lalatcha Me'isad Go Teretz Yisod. Did he go right away? He didn't go till way later. He didn't listen to the Rebbe Shalom's tzivah till way later, many years later. So maybe there, the Rebbe Shalom didn't appear to me and tell me, you must go to Eretz Yisrael. It says in the Gemara, the end of Ksubas, and it says in the Shulchan Aruch, we're all supposed to live in Eretz Yisrael. So to say today, Avon Chutz Laretz Goyreim, that if I'm married to my wife 10 years in Chutz Laretz, maybe we don't have children, not because of a medical problem with my wife, maybe it's because of Chutz Laretz. What's the mocker? From Avram Avinu? No, Avram Avinu was told by the Rebbeinu Shalom directly at a nevuah, go to Eretz Yisrael, and he didn't listen. He didn't go to Eretz Yisrael for years and years and years. So maybe there Avon Chutz Laretz Goyrim. But how do you know that it applies Bizman Hazeh? So that's what Tosfos points out also. It's not really, doesn't correspond. Our living Chutz Laretz doesn't correspond to Avram Avinu living in Chutz Laretz. He was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly, go. Lech Lohani didn't go. Didn't go till way later. So that makes more sense. Avon Chutz Laretz Goyrim. So the more effect Akasha. Omalei Rabba the Rab Nachna. Effect Akasha. Why do you learn out from the Pasuk? It's only an Asmachta though. Why do you make an Asmachta? Because Afal Pishan Rai Ladov is Echa Ladov. It means that it's not an Arklad Rai. Asmachta. So why do you make an Asmachta from Avram Avinu that you have 10 years if After 10 years, you don't have children. Then you gotta marry Hagar. Then you take a second wife. You divorce the first wife and you marry someone else. Learn that from Yitzchak. Yitzchak was 40 years old when he got married. He didn't have children till he was 60, and he didn't divorce his wife, and he didn't take a Pelegish. He didn't take someone else. Didn't take a second wife. So why not learn out from Yitzchak that the world doesn't come to an end? After 10 years, he didn't do anything. He didn't have children until 20 years later. So Tosfos here right away comments, Rashi in his commentary on Chumash is always quoting Midrashim and Gemaris and Tanoim and Brises and everything. So Rashi on Chumash quotes a Medrash that when Rivka got married, she was only 3 years old. A three-year-old baby can't have, it's not normal, so she can't have any children. So the first 10 years till she was 13 don't count. And then the next 10 years, so Yitzchak only waited 10 years from the time that it was reasonable. Girls in the days of Tanakh, a girl would get, days of the Gemara, a girl would get married at the age of 12, 13. Today that's also abnormal. But in the days of Tanakh, a girl would get married at the young age of 13. So when Rivka got married at the age of 3, so of course they're going to wait till 10 years to begin to think about having children. And then he waited another 10 years. So what does the Gemara say? What does the Gemara say? Why not learn from Yitzchak? You have 20 years. No, Yitzchak was also 10 years. 10 years from the time that it was shaykh to talk about having children. So what was the Gemara's kasha? So Tosfos says, obviously, the Midrashim Chalukim, there's a machlokes in the Midrashim, and this Gemara is assuming, not like the Medrash that Rashi Al HaTorah quoted, this Gemara is assuming that he married Rivka at a reasonable age, not at the age of 3. He married her, she was 18, whatever it was, okay. So many Midrashim that Rashi made famous, Rashi Al HaTorah, and today we look at those Midrashim, they're so strange. He married Rivka at the age of 3. So the Gemara assumes not so. The Gemara assumes he married Rivka, a normal age. Yeah. So the Gemara effect Akasha. Why do you learn out from the Pasuk Aremes and Asmachta? Why do you learn an Asmachta from Avraham Avinu that you have 10 years? Learn an Asmachta from Yitzchak that you should have 20 years. Until 20 years, you don't have to do anything about getting divorced. So the Gemara, that's who Rava asked Rav Nachman. Amalei, so Rav Nachman responds, nah, Yitzchak wasn't able to, he knew he had a medical problem. He knew, but Derech HaTavi, he can't have any children. So he's not going to do anything. He wouldn't have done anything in after 20, 30 years, he wouldn't have done. What he did was he davened to the Rabban Shalom, and a miracle occurred. And even though B'derech HaTeva was impossible for him to have children, Amalei, so Rav Nachman answers Rabbi, Yitzchak Okru Hayah. He had a medical condition, it was impossible for him to have children. So that's why he can't learn from Yitzchak. He'll wait 30 years and know he's not going to have children. He knew it was his fault. Frek de Gemara, so Avraham Avinu, also we have a tradition, Avraham Avinu was also an Akar. That doesn't say in Chumash. It says that Sarah and Rivka and Rachel were Akaris. That says in Chumash, and they were davening. Right, so this Gemara says that Avraham and Yitzchak were also Akarim. Tumtumim and son, they were also. Not only Sarah, Rivka, and Rachel were Akaris, but the husbands were also Akaris. So the Gemara asked the Kashi Yochi, Avram Nami Oko Hayo. We have a tradition of Avram Avinu was B'derech HaTeva not able to have any children. And he had a daven also. So how can you learn from the Pasuk that says Avram Avinu waited 10 years until he married Hagar? Because if you wait 10 years, you don't have children. What do you mean, wait 10 years? He knew he had a medical problem. He can tell you, wait 100 years, not going to have children. So that's not a reason why you should marry Hagar. Everything in my name. Why does the Pasuk say?
But he married Hagar, he had a child, so how could he be an Akar now?
He started off as an Akar, and then he davened, and he changed.
After the 10 years of the davening, then that was answered.
Yeah.
For him.
Yeah. Hard. Yeah. That's how the Gemara understands it. But Derech HaTev, he wasn't able to have children, he davened. And then, after 10 years, he married Hagar, and because of his davening, he was able to have children. And then he continued to daven, and then she was able to have children. They were both Akorim. He was an Ok, and she was an Akorim. So the Gemara says, so how can you learn that from Avraham Avinu? Avraham Avinu, B'derech HaTeva, he wasn't able to have children. So the Gemara says, but the Pasuk mentions, Vayimi Kate says, Hashanim L'Shevus Avraham, why does it say that in the Chumash? For the biography of Avraham Avinu. The Chumash is a biography. It's a history book. It's not a history book. The reason why he mentions 10 years is to teach us this idea. that when a couple is married and they don't have children, if you wait 10 years, in the days of the Tanakh, you wait 10 years, that's not unreasonable. You shouldn't divorce your wife before 10 years if you don't know where the source of the problem is. But by Yitzchak, that it says he waited 20 years after he got married to have children, that's not written for the purpose of telling us that it's okay to wait 20 years. No, that's written for a different purpose. Ahum Iboilei, the pasuk by Avram is to tell us this idea that you can wait 10 years, and it's not called a bitla mitzvah. You're not mechuyev right away. After 5 months, you already have to take an... I'm married 5 months, and my wife's not pregnant. I have to take another wife. I have to divorce my wife. No, pasuk says you have 10 years. But the pasuk by Yitzchak that says he waited 20 years is to teach me a different thing. Not to teach me you can wait 20 years. Ahum Iboilei, the kid, Rabchia Barabo. Damar Rabchia Barabo. Amar Rab Yechon. He says, name Rab Yechon. The Chumash tells us that Yitzchak didn't have the twins, Yankov and Esav, until he was 60 years old. That was 20 years after he got married. What's the relevance of saying how old he was? In order to calculate how old Yankov Avinu was when he ran away from Beis Yitzchak, what's the significance of calculating how old he was? So you figure out that there were 14 years missing over there. So our tradition has those 14 years were the 14 years he was learning in Shiva Shambhaver. So still, what's the significance? Right, the biography of the Chumash is a biography. So Rashi quotes, no, this is a whole agarite. In the end, Besof Perek Aleph to Maseches Megillah. Rashi quotes Megillah where it says in parentheses, Daf Yud Zayin, in the Rashi. So at the end of Perek Aleph and Megillah, the Gemara makes the whole calculation. Why does it say how old Yitzchak was when the twins were born, Yankov Esav, in order that you should be able to calculate that to 14 missing years? Those were the missing years, not accounted for in the Chumash. Those were the years that he learned in Yeshiva. What's the relevance of knowing that he learned in Yeshiva for 14 years? To teach you that all the years that he was away from his father, Yankov was away from his father, he was working to marry Rachel and Leah, and then he was working to make more money a little bit. So all those years, he was mevatel the mitzvah of kibud aviyim. So he was punished years later, mida keneged mida, so he missed his son Yosef all that number of years. So why wasn't he punished another 14 years? It was away from the father. If you calculate, it was away from the father. Yitzchak was away from his... Yankov Avinu was away from his father, Yitzchak, 14 more years. Then the answer is no. Those 14 years he was learning in the yeshiva, so Talmud Torah is more Godel Talmud Torah, Yosef Mikibar Aviyim. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is greater than the mitzvah of Kibar Aviyim. So he wasn't, Yankov Avinu was not punished another 14 years that he should miss Yosef, he shouldn't be with his son. He didn't deserve to be punished for those 14 years. What does it mean, Godel Talmud Torah, Yosef Mikibar Aviyim? Let's say the son is learning at home, and the father says, can you please make me a cup of coffee? He says, no, I'm learning. Go to Talmud Torah, yes, and mikveh v'dam. So there is no such din. The din is ha'isik b'mitzvah, patur min ha'mitzvah. If a person is busy doing a mitzvah, that patters him from any other mitzvah, applies to every mitzvah except for Talmud Torah. If you're learning Torah, you can't say, I'm not going to daven mincha ma'ariv. I'm not going to have a seder tonight. I'm not going to go, there's a demonstration, whatever, there's a shevet brachas, there's a chasana. I'm not going to do anything. They can't say that. That's Lomit Shalom and Aslasas. So that's what the Yerushalmi says. Ha'isik b'mitzvah, potter min ha'mitzvah. If you're busy doing mitzvah A, you're potter from mitzvah B. But if the mitzvah A is Talmud Torah, part of the mitzvah is Lomit Shalom and Aslasas. Learning Torah is supposed to lead you to observe all the mitzvahs. So if learning Torah is going to, you're going to say, ha'isik b'mitzvah, potter min ha'mitzvah. So the learning is incomplete. Learning Shalom and Aslasas. So the son can't say, I'm learning Torah, I'm not going to make it a cup of coffee. You don't say, Godel Talmud Torah, yes, and Mikibir Aviyim. It's not going to be put there. So when does it apply? It means like this. The son wants to go learn in a yeshiva. He wants to go learn in Eretz Yisrael. Like the mini Gambina now. Everybody goes to learn in Eretz Yisrael between high school and college. He's going to learn in Eretz Yisrael never for a whole year. He won't be able to fulfill Kibir Aviyim. So is that right? You should go out of town? Going out of town, the father's not going to call him up on the phone and say, make me a cup of coffee. He's not going to come back. It's not reasonable. He's not going to come back to America to make the father a cup of coffee. So is that permissible? to move out of town and remove yourself from the whole ability to fulfill mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. So that's what we learned from this pasuk, that that's okay to go out of town, even though the parents are not happy about it. The parents would prefer that he should stay home. So that's, it's permissible. It's permissible to go learn in a different, if he feels he's going to learn better there. If he feels he's going to learn better in Eretz Yisrael or whatever. In Europe, they didn't have any Eretz Yisrael. The big yeshivas in Vilna or in Warsaw, they live in Schnippershock, whatever. They know yeshivas where he lives. He wants to go out of town to learn in the big yeshiva. So even though the parents are not happy about it, and because when he goes out of town, he won't be able to help the parents out, so it'll be mevatel the whole mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. So that's permissible to make such a decision. So that's an important, that's a halachic issue. So that's why the Chumash tells you that Yitzchak was married 20 years before he gave birth to the twins. What does it have to tell you he waited 20 years? That's relevant to that calculation. That Gemara Megillah, Zayin Amud Aleph, the end of the first parak, makes the whole calculation based on that pasuk. It's a long Rashi there, Megillah. Rashi HaChumash also has the long calculation of how you know that 14 years Yaakov Avinu was in the yeshiva and he wasn't punished connected those 14 years.
Why was he punished connected the going to Haran? I mean, Rivka sent him away, and he's not sent him away.
Mm-hmm.
So it is kibud av
v'aim. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's a very good question. I mean, if he would have come back right after the Shidduchin, but he didn't come back. So he says, it's a Igloi Milson Mafrei. He liked it there. He stayed there even longer than he had to. So maybe he deserved to be punished even for the first 14 years.
Okay, not the whole period.
I don't know. I don't know. It's a very good question. So the Gemara says, Afal Pishen, it's only an Asmachta. It's only an Asmachta. But the Gemara says, why not make an asmachta from the other pasuk? No, the other pasuk tells us that it took him 20 years. That's written in the Chumash for a different purpose. They teach me this klal. The Godel Talmud Torah, Yosem Yikibud Avien. Okay, now the Gemara says, Amar Rab Yitzchak, interesting, the Balamem, his name is Rab Yitzchak, it's an unusual Moira. Amar Rab Yitzchak, Yitzchak Avinu Akahaya. He wasn't, he medically, he had a problem. He wasn't able to have children. How do you know? Where does it say? Shenemar, Vayeta Yitzchak Lashem, V'noichach Ishtoi. What does it mean? So the pasuk says that Rivka was an Akora, and Yitzchak was davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she should be able to have children. So it says, L'noichach Ishtoi. Why doesn't it say Vayeta Yitzchak? Vayeta means he davened. Why doesn't it say Vayeta Yitzchak Lashem? Al Ishtoi. No, it doesn't say Alishta. If it would say Alishta, that means she had a medical problem. But it's not true. They both had a medical problem. He and she both had a medical problem. Alishta l'nema l'nechach. The answer was they were both medically unable to have children. But what is Ihochi Frek the Gemara? What does it say? Vayayosa loy Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered his prayers. It should say Vayayosa lohem. They both had a problem. So she said, the Ribbono Shel Olam answered the prayers. They both had a problem, and a miracle occurred. When you daven, you can accomplish all kinds of things. So a miracle occurred because of their davening. So she say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered both of their prayers. They were both praying for each other and for themselves. And for the Gemara, what does it say? Vayosel lo Hashem, Rashi and Chumash quotes, the fi, shenendem et fi l'sadik ben sadik, til l'sadik ben rosha. Yitzchak Avinu was the son of Avram Avinu, like Chassidish Rebbe said, have a koyach atfila, because they're tzaddikim, we hope, and their father's a tzaddik, and their grandfather's a tzaddik. So they had big schusavas that their prayer should be answered. And Rivka was a big tzaddikus, but her father was Nishkan tzaddik. So tfilas tzaddik ben Rosha is wonderful, but it's ain't a doyma. It can't compare to tfilas tzaddik ben tzaddik. So that's learned out from the pasuk, Vayayosa lo Hashem. Hashem answered his prayers, but the prayers were for both of them, both for he and for she. They were both praying for both, and his prayers stood a better chance of being answered because he had zchus avos. Isn't that strange? How often is it that someone is medically unable to have children? All the people are married. Normally, how many people are married don't have children? Very rare. How often do you have chalitza? Chalitza is very rare. So the Gemara said, isn't this strange? That Sora, Rivka, Rochel, they were all Akoris, and Avram and Yitzchak were Akorim. the whole family, everybody was an ochr. Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, the same Rabbi Yitzchak from before. Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, how come the Ovis and Nimois? They're so strange. The answer is Malamej, Shalkarach Baruch Mesabele Tfilos Am Shal Tzadikim. The Rabbanu Shal Olam appreciates Tfilah. See, he went out of his way to make them Akorim, but Derech HaTeva, normal healthy people are not Akorim. They're not Akoris. Kodesh Baruch made the Ovis and Nimois Akorim and Akoris that they should daven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, people usually have a taiva, a person has a taiva for women, a man has a taiva for women, a person has a taiva for money, has a taiva for food, all kinds of taivas. So we don't know what it means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a taiva, l'tfilosam shel tzaddikim. What does it mean? What does it mean? We don't know what this means, but the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. He wants tefillah. Tefillah was built into the world. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants people to daven. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Lama Nimshol Tefillosam Sadikim Ke Eser is a pitchfork. That on a farm, you take a pitchfork and you toss things around. You toss all the hay or you toss all the tvua. So it says, Vayayosa Lo Hashem. Yitzchak and Rivka were davening. Vayayosa Lo Hashem. Vayeti Yitzchak and Nechachishtoi. He was davening. Vayayosa Lo Hashem. Hashem answered his prayers. Why do you use such a verb? Why don't you say Vayispalel? What do you say? Eser? Eser is a pitchfork. So Rabbi Yitzchak has this vertel. Mayas is emahapachatvun makam lamakam. A pitchfork on the farm is used to toss things around. Kach tfilosam shal tzadikim. Derkarach hatfil is so great, you can change teva. A person can be a okar, a tumtum, an akora, whatever, but derkarach hatteva they can't have children. So the tfil of tzadikim, when a person davens, has koyach, Ma'apeches midos v'shalakad v'ochem midos ragzmanis l'midos rachmanis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be in an angry mood because people are doing averis, and by davening a lot, you can change it from ragzanis to midos rachmanis. So that's why the Ovis were...
So how come when a woman is pregnant, she's not allowed to daven to have a particular sex?
Yeah, that's a big question. It says in Hilchas Birchas Hamazon, that on Chanukah when you bench, so we say Ala Nisim and Noidolcha. So the Gemara by Mamadlikin says that the Takanas Chachamim was you have to say Ala Nisim and Nishman Esri. What about benching? It's not a Takanas Chachamim, you're not Mukhayev too, because you're not Mukhayev to eat any food on. So on Purim is a Chayev Suda. So they probably were Mesak and you have to say Ala Nisim and the benching. And Chanukah is an Issa Tainis, but there's no Chayev Suda. They've never made a takana, you have to say Al Anisim, but it's a minig. It's an old minig from the days of the Gemara that you say Al Anisim on Chanukah. So what if a person forgot Al Anisim, does he have to repeat the benching? So it says, no, the whole reciting Al Anisim and benching on Chanukah is only a minig, so you don't repeat the benching. So the Ramah says, however, we have a minig that at the end of Birchas Hamos, Birchas Hamos, and then say, the Yolam HaYichasreinu, and everybody says Amen. That's the end of the brach. After the Yolam HaYichasreinu, say Amen. So we have a meaning after we say the Olam HaYichasreinu, we have Racham HaNimloch Aleinu Yalavod, Racham HaNisbarach B'Shamayim Ortz. We have a lot of tchinas that begin with the word HaRachman. So the Ramah recommends, he quotes from earlier sources, Yishasana Nisim and the Flores, Keshem Shasisal Avasena Bayam Ha'im Azman HaZeh, you say B'mei Matzishol Ben Yochanan, so you say the whole Al HaNisim. But instead of saying, you forgot to say it in Noidalecho, you should have said, we thank you for everything, Ve'al HaNisim Al HaPurkum, we thank you for the Nisim of Chanukah. So one forgot to say it in Noidalachom. So Mikra didn't. Okay, so you forgot. It's not market. The meaning is that you said then, Harachmani Asalan and Yisim Reflo. So the Shari Tshuva, next to the Behetiv, quotes a kasha from the Panama Iris. How can Yeska Kadosh Baruch Hu that you should Harachmani Asalan and Yisim Reflo? The Mishnah says in Brochus, you're not permitted to pray for a miracle. You're not allowed to ask for a miracle. So he quotes from the Panim Meiris three klolim. He says, big tzaddikim are allowed to ask. First he goes in order. He says,
Rivka did.
Yeah. So he said, the first klol is, anes nista, you are permitted to ask for. So you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's say the doctors are working on medication for a sickness, so pray to the Baruch Shalom, they should come up with a good cure for the disease. Or you're waging war. So the enemy has more soldiers than you, the enemy has better weapons than you, but you can pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should win the war, because they can make mistakes. And sometimes the people who are less have less ammunition can win the war. So you can ask for a Neis Nista. Not like ask for a Neis Nigla. Even a Neis Nigla, if it's on behalf of Klal Yisrael, that you may ask, that's a Gemara that a Mazel Yisrael. Mazel means B'derech HaTeva. They used to have the ability to look into the stars, to predict the future, because they're a mahalchim, how history runs and how life runs. So if you look in the stars, you can tell, but Klal Yisrael is al malam and ateva, there's no way to predict what's going to be in the future. You see, from the whole Gemara, the whole existence of Klal Yisrael is malam and ateva. Avram and Yitzchak and Tzar, Rivka, Rachel, they were all akorim and akoris. So the whole, none of us should exist. They shouldn't have had any descendants at all. They shouldn't have had any children. So the whole existence of Klal Yisrael is l'mana manateva. So continued hanhoga of Klal Yisrael is also l'mana manateva. So you can ask for even a nice nigla on behalf of Klal Yisrael. A mazal Yisrael goes on Klal Yisrael. And then there's a whole perik in Tainus that tells stories about tzaddikim. Pirka de Hasidi. One story after another, every story. Like Chassidish Maises. That for unusual, big tzaddikim, Moshe Rabbeinu Shokel Keneged Shishim Ribo, so big tzaddikim are considered as if they represent all of Klal Yisrael, so they can even ask for a Neis Nigla. That's what they say. So when we say, HaRachman Yasalon and Nisim in the Flores, Kishim Shalcisal Abiseinu, that's we're asking for Nisim in the Flores for Klal Yisrael. Or if you have unusual tzaddikim like Avram and Yitzchak and Yankif and so on, these people were unusual tzaddikim, so they have a right, they're l'mayla menatev. They have a right to ask for even nisim shaloi b'derech ha-teva. So for years they were davening and their prayers were instant. And the reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam made it like that, why is so unusual? All these people were akorim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu misavah l'tfilosim shel tzaddikim. We spoke, that's the pasha, that's the source of all of the anti-Semitism in the world. Because all of teva blends in, all the chukia teva blend in together. Klal Yisrael doesn't fit in. Klal Yisrael doesn't fit in b'derech ha-teva to the rest of the world. Klal Yisrael, the existence of Klal Yisrael, the coming into existence of l'malam and ha-teva, and continuing existence of l'malam and ha-teva. So that's why there's anti-Semitism. The body always rejects foreign matter. We spoke about it when they started to make organ transplants. So they realized there's a problem of rejection. The body rejects foreign matter. So the whole world has teva, and Klal Yisrael doesn't fit in. Klal Yisrael is mechutz la teva. So all of the world rejects the Jewish people. That's a natural reaction, because Klal Yisrael is a chutz min ha-teva. It's like we are a foreign matter in the whole world. So that's what the Gemara says. Why is the tefillah of tzaddikim compared to a pitchfork? Just like you can be mahapech tefuah, toss it around. So with the koyach ha-tefillah, you can be mahapech teva. You can change. You can change it. And the Pasuk says you have to daven for everything. Pasuk in Tehillim says, Halzos is palak al-chosid le'es mitzo. The Gemara says, Es mitzo zu isha. Motza isha, motza toif. Then the Gemara says also you have to daven for parnasa. Then you have to daven for children. Then you have to daven for every step of the way. Then the Gemara says, le'es mitzo goes on death. You should daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam. When you're holding by that, you should have a pleasant death. Then the Gemara says you should daven, le'es mitzo goes on kfura. You should have a pleasant kfura. Gemara says the pasuk includes you have to daven every step of the way. You shouldn't take anything for granted. We have to daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam for everything. We don't. We daven the text and the siddur and shayt. We yotze. The Gemara said that's not right. You should always add on tachnunim. Tachnunim acha tfilosoi, or tachnunim in the tfilos. Or the Gemara says in Tainus that there was some of the Amaroim, they wanted to add tachnunim, so they said tachnunim in tachnun. You don't necessarily have to say the tachnunim. If you're going to daven a longer Shemoneh Esrei, you're going to miss Kedusha, you're going to miss the whole Chazaras HaShatz. To say the whole Shemoneh Esrei, and then add the Tchinus and Tachnun. Add the Tchinus after the Kain and Tzor, add whenever. But you have to add Tachnunim. You have to ask for, you shouldn't just say the text of the Tefillah. You should add, depending on what issues are happening that day. Every day, there's something else going on. So that's what the Gemara says. The others were all Akorim and Akoris. The last line the Gemara says. Amar Ababi. Amar Rabbi Yami, Avram Asara Tum Tumumim. A Tum Tum is one who is Aver Hazachrus, Aver Anachrus is covered over. So they can't have any children. And he says, based on the Pasuk, Habito Aksur Chutzavchen, Malkeves bor nukartem, and the next pasuk says habito l'Avram avicham asar t'chol alchem. So sur chutzavtem means Avram Avinu didn't have any zachrus; it was all covered up. It was inside his body, and with the karchat tefillah he changed it, and that's called chutzavtem, like carving out, as if the zachrus was carved out later in life. Malkeves bor nukartem, that was the nakfus of sari imenu. So that's like a bor. So that happened later in life. When she got married, she didn't have that. Avram and Sara with Okar and Akora. Then the Gemara said, Amar Abnachman, Amar Abbarabu, Sara Imen, Island is Hoysa. Island is the whole body grows differently. It's not normal. Shenema, Vati Sara Akora, Ein Lo Volot. Akora means she was barren. Ein Lo Volot means she had no children. So it's the same thing. Akora means Ein Lo Volot. What does it say twice? It's a repetition. Ein lo volod means afila beis vlad ein lo. She didn't even have the whole mucker. That whole part of the body was missing. She was a tumtum. Everything was missing. When the bekoach atfila, tefila can accomplish nisim also. We have to get used to davening better. We don't daven well. Yeah. So then the Gemara has this opinion that in the days of Avram Avinu they lived so long. So 10 years is not so bad. It's not, it's less than 10% of your life.
We really don't find that there was a tefillah there. So say me, he's tagnin shocha, Avram and Yimolid, Avram Moilin. But he wasn't davening. Hashem said, was there a tefillah over there?
Yeah, the Pasuk only says that Yankel Vino, Yitzchak was davening.
By Avram.
It never says Avram, but the Gemara had a tradition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them Akar and Akara because he's Mesava the Tvilos, and the Gemara says that they daven. And the Psukim it doesn't say. Psukim just says that Yitzchak daven. It doesn't say the others daven. The Gemara says they all davened. And with Korech HaTvila, they made Nisim.
Rashi says by Yaakov that with Brochel, but you say the daven for your, right?
To have children, yeah. That's right. So the Gemara says, based on this pasuk, Sarah was an akora, ein la volod. Isn't it repeat? So it's not filled. Based for lad ein la, she didn't have that part of the body. So then the next Gemara says, the 10 years is a long wait. So 10 years, if you have a life of 175 years, so 10 years is not bad. But as man is then, nobody lives so long. So today you have to prorate it. So the 10 years should be 2.5 years. Those shana the daris harishanim in the days of Tanakh, which the same Merubis, they lived so long. About Doris Achrayim, things happen much faster. Shesh the same lotas. Ishtei shanim emachzer. Why 2.5 years? Keneged shlosha iburim. She could have been pregnant for 9 months, and then you have to wait another month. She could be pregnant for another 9 months. Right? 2.5 years. That's all you wait. And the other one says, no, you wait 3 years. Bezmanazay you wait on keneged shlosh pikidos. What does that mean? That on Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the whole world. And it's on Rosh Hashanah we have a tradition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that Sarah, Rachel, and Chana, who were barren, they didn't have any children, that they should be blessed with children. So if the couple is married, and during their marriage, they experienced 3 Rosh Hashanahs, that's that they got married after Tisha B'Av. So after Tisha B'Av comes, soon comes Rosh Hashanah. Of Elul Tishrei. And 2 months going to be Rosh Hashanah. So they had 1 Rosh Hashanah, 2 months into their marriage. Then a year later, another Rosh Hashanah, then a 3rd Rosh Hashanah. So it's really only 2.5 years. But if they experience in their marriage 3 Rosh Hashanahs, and still she's not pregnant, so then they may as well get divorced. Because on Rosh Hashanah, the Rabban Shalom decides which women are going to have children. Shalashan Kenegan, Shalash Pekidis. They should experience 3 Rosh Hashanahs in their marriage. We have a tradition. But Rosh Hashanah nifkud the Sarah Rachel v'Chana. That's why the Gemara says in Brachas with Anshe Knesset Agdailo composed all the tefillos. Anshe Knesset Agdailo Gemara Hazaloshim was a body that consisted of 120 chachomim, but Bohem Kama Nevim. Amongst them were several Nevim. So what's the significance of that line, Bohem Kama Nevim? So the Rav Chaim Volozhin writes in the Nefesh HaChaim to compose a Nusach HaTfilah Anshei Knesset Gedolah with the beginning of the Baisheni period. Baisheni lasted at least over 400 years. Maybe the Gemara's tradition was Baisheni lasted 420 years. That's all we our calculation, we said this year's Tavshin Pei, that's based on the assumption that Bai Sheni lasted 420 years. In all the history books, it says Bai Sheni lasted 150 years longer than what it says in the Gemara. Okay, so Bai Sheni, the Anshei Ketan Segedala, was a long time ago, and we're still saying the Nusach HaTfilah. So to compose a tefillah that's going to last for so many centuries into the future, for that you had to have a Korach HaNevuah. So that's what the Gemara says, Bohem Kama Nevim, the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, composed the tefillah with the Korach HaNevuah. So the Gemara says, how many units you have? We daven on weekdays, we used to daven 18 brachas, Shmoneh Esrei. Now we have 19 brachas, they added Vela Malshinim. So the Gemara says, there's a Mokar in Tanakh that you have a right to offer a tefillah with 18 units. Then when they decided to add a 19th, there's a mocha that you have a right to have 19 units. Then Mizman, Tainis Tzibur, so the Chazan would repeat the Shmoneh Esrei and add an additional 6 brachas. So they had an addition to the 18, they added 6 more, so there were 24 brachas in the Chazaras HaShatz. The Yechidim Davin, they said 18 brachas, and the Chazan said 24 brachas. The Gemara quotes a source in Tarach for a tefillah with 24 units. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, we offer a tefillah with 7 units. There's a Mokar and Tanakh for a tefillah with 7 units. On Rosh Hashanah, we have 9 units. We have the first 3 brachas, the last 3, and Malchus Chana Shofar, so that's based on Tefillah Schana. That in Tefillah Schana, Chana was Nifkedo by Rosh Hashanah, and in Tefillah Schana, you have Shem Hashem mentioned 9 times. So it's based on that Pasuk in Novi, that they composed the Nusach HaTfilah on Rosh Hashanah with 9 units. That's where Rav Soloveitchik always used to explain. There's a Machlokes HaTanaim. Really, the Rosh Hashanah Dik and Musaf should have 10 brachas. Every Shabbos and Yom Tov, you have 7 brachas. You have the Gimel Rishonis, Gimel Achrayinis, and the middle bracha on Kedushas HaYom. Then Rosh Hashanah, you want to add another 3. So you want to have Malchus HaMoed Shofar. So you have 7, you should have 3. So it should be 7 and 3 should be 10. So that's out of the question. You can't have 10 because there's no Mokar in Tanakh for a tefillah with 10 units. So all the Tanoim are working with the assumption you have to take 2 brachas and quetch them together. So there was a ganza, 3-way machlokes haTanoim, which 2 brachas do you combine together? So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri used to put Malchus in HaMelech HaKodesh. He would combine those 2. Malchus was in the middle of HaMelech HaKodesh. And Rabbi Akiva, we don't follow that. And Rabbi Akiva said, no, you should combine Malchus with Kedushas HaYom. That's what we do. And then the Gemara says, Rabbi Gamliel was of the opinion that you say Kedushas HaYom in the middle of Zichronis, the middle. Just like on every Shabbos Yom Tov, the middle bracha is the bracha on Kedushas HaYom. So on Rosh Hashanah Musaf also, middle of bracha, Malchus Chanan Shofes, so Zichronis should have the Kedushas HaYom. Want to just make it 10 brachas? So the answer, as Rav Soloveitchik always used to say, you can't make 10 brachas. There's no source in Tanakh. All the tefillahs have to be composed by people with Ruach HaKodesh, with Korach HaNevuah, and it has to be based on Psukim.
So they do on Tanis now 25 brachas?
Yeah, I don't know. After the Aranan Vala Malshinim, did they still have that minig, that Hakonah, that you add another 6 brachas? I don't know. It could be that when once they added the 19th bracha, maybe they never added those. Do we have any record that the Chazan said Chazaras HaShatz on the Tainis Tzibur with 24, even after they added the Olam HaShinim? I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. Yeah. When Yom Tov Shechali is B'Shabbos, so this Machlek is B'Shameh and B'Sil, in Beitzah, in the second parak, so B'Shameh Hold, you say 8 brachas. Gimel Rishonim is Gimel Achrayinis, and 2 brachas in the middle. One bracha for Mekadosh HaShabbos, one bracha Mekadosh Yisrael v'Hazmanim. That's B'Shamay Sheet. And we don't pass like that. We pass and you combine it. So that's the question. Why do B'Sil say you combine? The Gemara says, usually the din is Ein Chos Min Mishnayim. You're not allowed to combine 2 themes in 1 bracha. Let's say a person is late for davening. So he doesn't want to say 15 Berchos HaShachar. So he says, Baruch Ato Hashem V'Kenem Lecha Olam. And those on the Sechvin al-Halchayim and my Loilo, Shalos Sani Goy, Shalos Sani Yobel, Shalos Sani Isha, Mal B'Sharumim, and the Mater Asurim is at Kukfufin, he'll make it the kids. They say all the 15 brachas in one. So you're not allowed to do that, and even with the Evid, you're not Yotze. Ein Chos Min Mishnayim can't do that. So the Gemara says, Chutz Mizu, when Yontem Shechol Yis B'Shabbos, or Shechol Yis Shechol Yis B'Shabbos, we do combine together. So why? Manashtan, how come over here it's Mutter? So the Gemara gives an answer. It's questionable what the answer is. So some Rishonim say because the two Kedushas blend in to be one. It's a new Kedusha. It's not one superimposed on the other. Happens to be Shabbos and happens also to be Yontem. Happens to be Shabbos and it's also Rosh Chodesh. No, it's a new Kedusha. Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh hyphenated. Yontem with Shabbos hyphenated together. And other Rishonim say no, it's really one superimposed upon the other. But you have no Mokum in Tanakh that you have a right to say a Tefillah with eight brachas. So the Tefillah have no choice. So it's not that much of a violation of Ein Ches Mishnayim. They're both about Kedusha, both about Kedusha's man. So Nish Geferlach, because you don't want to recite a Tefillah with eight units. There's no source in Tanakh for a Tefillah with eight units. Yeah. What do you do with Havdalah? I don't know. I never heard from the Rav. Yeah. Good question. Yeah. We don't hold like that. Okay. Yeah. So that was a suggestion that today people don't live so long, so you don't have 10 years. 10 years is more than 10% of your life. How can you wait 10 years? It's too long. So one sheet is 2.5 years, one sheet is 3 years. And then one sheet was not 3 years, three Rosh Hashanahs. Three Rosh Hashanahs may turn out to be 2 years, 2 years and a couple of days, yeah. Why three Rosh Hashanahs? Because Rosh Hashanah nifkadu sarach v'chana. Rosh Hashanah is a day on which it's decided which women should have a baby. Then the Gemara says, we don't hold like any of these. We hold 10 years. Why? Because when Rabbi Yehuda Nasi edited the Mishnayos, it was already after the days of David HaMelech. David HaMelech Hashem Gazak to mention the Sani Behem Shib Mishanah. And nonetheless, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi writes in the Mishnah that you have 10 years. Of like Dazai. Nothing changed from the days of the Tanaim till today. The length of a change, we can ascertain who has the medical problem. That changed. But nothing changed as far as the length of the years. So that's why we remain with the 10 years. From the days of the Tanaim till today, the age that people lived didn't change so much. If anything, people live longer now than in the days of the Tanaim. But we don't live less. So on the second wide line, the Gemara raises that question. Why does it say the question that we raised before? If the husband was married for 10 years, he has to give his wife a get. He doesn't have any children yet. He doesn't have another wife. So he has to do something about it. Either marry an additional wife or divorce this one, marry a different wife. He has to do something after 10 years. So it says, Yekoy for him ligaresh, yoitzi v'yitn ksuba. Why is yitn ksuba? Maybe she has the medical problem. Why don't you say Hamoitza Machaber Olivaraya? If she's the one who's at fault for not having the children, so then there's no Takanas Ksuba. So that's the Gemara's Kasha. Hi, the line and the Brisa that he has to pay the Ksuba. Why? Shemalo Zochali Hibanois Hemeno. Maybe Menashamaim they made Xeria. He shouldn't have any children with this wife. Fregnama, but you don't know. Is it Xera Min HaShemayim on him or on her? Maybe she has a medical condition from the day that she was born. Maybe she's the one who's at fault. And if she's the source of the divorce, if she's the fault of the divorce, then she's not entitled to any ksuba. So why don't you say, HaMotzi Mechaveh Levarayi? You don't know. So Misafi Yoda says, you should be potter from paying ksuba. That's the Gemara's Kasha. Rashi says, V'dilme Ihi Delo Zachya V'latito Ksuba. So she shouldn't collect suba. It's a suffix my mind. And for the Gemara, an interesting answer. Since women are not mukhiva piravirivya, so it's not mistabat to say that it's an oinish minashamayim that she should not be zoicha. Maybe she has a medical problem. Maybe she was born with a medical problem, that yes. But to say we have the lashon and the braisa, shemal azachal, that was the line in the braisa. Shemal, the reason why he has to pay the suba. Yeah, so why does he pay? Maybe there's Exer Min HaShamayim, he shouldn't have children with her. Maybe there's Exer Min HaShamayim, she shouldn't have children with him. Maybe it's her fault. So the Gemara says, no, since women are not Mechuyev and Piriririvya, so that's not considered a punishment to her. Kivin de la Mifka, the Piriririvya la Mensha, it wouldn't be a punishment to her. Then the Gemara affects Akasha, Eini. What do you mean? You tell him to get divorced and marry someone else, even though for 10 years he didn't have children, maybe you'll have it the second wife. Freg the Gemara Eini, the whole Mishnah The whole story in the Mishnah contradicts the following story. V'omer le'rabbona le'rabba. Rabba means the Talmidim confronted Rabba Bar Zavda. He was a rabbi, and he didn't have, he was married for years, he didn't have any children. So they told him, Nisivit sova oled bonit, marry a different wife, maybe his wife died. So they said, he didn't have any children. So they said, why don't you marry someone else and have children? So he said, no. Apparently, min hashamayim, since they didn't give me children from my first wife, I will not have any children from the second wife. It's against the whole Mishnah. The Mishnah says he didn't have children for 10 years. So the Mishnah recommends, the Mishnah tells you that then you're supposed to marry another wife. He did divorce the first one, marry another one, and marry an additional wife. Why don't you just say, since he wasn't zeicha with the first wife, that's it, he won't have from the second wife. That's what Ravada, that's what this, who is it? Rababa Bazavda said, Omeluhu, Rababa Bazavda told the Talmidim, Rabbana means the Talmidim, he told the Talmidim, Izakoi Havali Mikamaisa. If I would have been zeicha Tavshun, I would have had from the first wife. In fact, I didn't have from the first wife, means Ben HaShemayim, I'm not going to have. What kind of a statement is that? It's against the whole Mishnah. And for the Gemara, that's a Baba Maisa, what he said. He didn't want to tell him the whole story. He knew that he had a problem. Hasam, that wasn't the real reason, because if he wasn't zechet for the first wife, not going to happen the second wife. That's not true. The story was he knew that he couldn't have children. He had a medical problem. The Gemara has such an attitude, I don't know if it's true anymore, says if a person has to go to Beis Akisei, has to urinate, and he holds it in for a long time, this can cause him to become an okar. So this Rav Huna used to give long shiurim, like Rav Soloveitchik, when he first started giving shiurim in yeshiva, they said he used to give 6 hours. He used to give a shiur 6 hours. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik used to give a shiur once every week and a half, 45 minutes. And then Rav Moshe passed away, so Rabbi Yashabel was giving long shiurim, 6 hours long. The students were going out of their minds. Then they ran straight out. He gave 2 hours shiur. The Yotzer shiur was 4 hours. The Yotzer shiur was always 4 hours. So this Rav Huna gave very long shiurim, and many of the Talmidim became akorim. They had a medical condition. They weren't able to have children because they didn't want to go out in the middle of the shiur. They didn't want to miss the shiur. So he said, that's the true story. This Rabab Bar Zavda, and for the Gemara, it was Dechui Kamatchul Rabban. Rabab Bar Zavda, he became an Okam, the Pirkei de Rabuna from the Shiurim. Rab Gidl also Yekam Pirkei de Rabuna. Rab Chelva also Yekam Pirkei de Rabuna. Rab Sheshis also Yekam Pirkei de Rabuna. Rab Acha Bayankev, Acharite Sus Kinosa, he got sick. He got sick from listening to the long Shiurim. Because he was holding, he had to go to Beis Akisei in New York. They didn't have like we have now. So we have a Beis Akisei. He'd go out for 5 minutes, he'd come back. But they didn't have, he had to go somewhere in the forest. He would miss the whole shiur. So one of them got so sick, so they once told Yuhu Ba'arza, the Beirav, there was a tree in the backyard of the yeshiva. Beirav means in yeshiva. Arza, they hung him up on a tree, and he spit out green stuff from his system. What they say? Yarka, green stuff. Sometimes a person is sick, and he throws everything up, and then he gets cured. So many of them, because they held it in, so they became akorim. And then this is the last one, Rav Acha Bar Yankev, he got sick, and they cured him. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Acha Bar Yankev, Shitin Sali Havena. There were 60 Talmidim. Now they're all old rabbis, all old men. But Vekula Yekam Et Pirkei Rav Huna. They all became sick. They all lost their ability to have children because he gave such long shiurim. The Gemara means that it's not right. You shouldn't give long shiurim. The Bar Me'ano, he says, I was the only one. I went out to, when I had to go to the bathroom, I went. He said, he's not going to get sick over it. And I fulfilled the pasuk that says, Achopen t'chai ba'leo, pasuk in kohel. It's because I use my brains. It's more important to maintain your health than to sit and listen to the shiur. So that's why he is able to have children. So the Gemara says, what Rav Acha, what was his name? Rabbade Bar Zavda told the students, if I would have been Zech, I would have had from the first wife, obviously, Ben HaShemayim don't want to have children. He didn't want to tell the Talmidim what the true answer was. The true answer was that. I remember when, what's his name? I forgot his name. I found the Neturi Karta, so he married a Giyoris. Rabbi Manblau. He married a Giyoris, and she used to be a dancer in a nightclub. She used to be a nochris, an entertainer in a nightclub. So he married, so they attacked him in the news. But what is he, crazy? He married a girl. He had no choice, he had to say. So he said, Mohammed HaShechur, he became Kruz Shavcha. He became a Tzuladaka. So he says he's not allowed to marry a Jewish girl. So he says he had to marry a Gioris. He wasn't allowed to marry a Loyavah B'Kal Hashem. He's not allowed to marry a Jewish girl. He had no bravery. He had to say, because they were attacking him in all the newspapers. I remember in America, in the English newspapers, they were quoting the story. So that's it over here. He told the Talmidim above myself, if I would have been Zech, I would have had. But the true real reason was that he knew he had a medical problem. He wasn't able to have children. Yeah.
Also, it's a good because
of Kishmat and Zech. Gemara says it's not right. Gemara is telling us it's not right to give such long shiur because you're going to get people to be sick. So Leitchik has a famous drosha that he said on the Shiras Hayam. He raised the question, how come after Yitzias Mitzrayim, why did they wait till Kriyas Yamsuf to say Oz Yoshe? Why don't they say right away Shira? So the Medrash says they did Halo Abde Hashem Eloi Abde Parah. They did say Shira. They said Halo Abde Hashem Eloi Abde Parah. They said right away. But in the Chumash it doesn't say. How come the Chumash only says that they said Shira after Kriyas Yamsuf? So he said we have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu when He gives us the Yeshua, but over here by Kriyas Yamsuf there's an additional special reason why we want to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because we participated in the Yeshua. He said, Dabel b'nei Yisrael b'Yisrael. They said, the Mitzrayim are behind us, and the Yamsuf is in front of us. What are we going to do? The Rebbe Shlom said, let them show a little Mesiras Nefesh, let them show their Habitoch, and let them go into the Yam. And Nachshon Ben Aminadav walked into the Yam, and the water was up until his nose, and then the Yamsuf occurred. The whole time in Mitzrayim, the b'nei Yisrael didn't have to really put themselves out too much. The Rebbe Shlom made Nisim and the Flores and made a Geula. So on the occasion of Kriya Samsa, the Rebbe Shlom gave us the Schia to become Shutvin with him in the Geula. We participated, so we praise him especially on giving us the Shutvis, on making us his Shluchim to be Shutvin. Rav Zalevich actually pointed out, when you say Bar Nefashis, when you eat fruits and vegetables, you say Bar Nefashis, usually. When you eat bread, then you have to say Brichas HaMazon. Why? So he said, because bread, we participated, we had to make the bread, we had to harvest, we had to plant, we had to harvest, we had to make flour, we had to do lisha, we had to do afim, we had to make the bread. So there is Birchas HaMazon deraisa. And even according to some Rishonim that ala michya and ala eitz, while pihu eitz is also deraisa, but it's only one bracha. The gimel bracha is only Birchas HaMazon on bread, because we became shutvim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we thank Him that He gave us the Schia to become Shutvim together with Him. So the Gemara has such an idea. The Gemara has in different places, the Gemara will say, why did the Tanoim write the Dinim, let's say, Maseches Gittin? So you learn the first Mishnah in Gittin is about saying, Befanechta, it's a Din de Rabbanan. The Din of Lishma, they have to write a Get Lishma. It's not explicit in Torah Shebichzav. It's a Drasha, because of law. Lo lishma, you have to have lishma. That's a drash of Torah Shebal Peh. Then the requirement to say b'fanech, because you need lishma, that's a takana de rabbanon. Why doesn't the mesichta is written out of order? When you get pei vav, adaf pei hey, then it says gufa shall get, it tells you what's the text that it get. So today when we teach git, the Rebbe will bring in a get, and I'll show you the 12 lines in the get, and the two signatures at the bottom. He'll show you what's gufa shall get. We go in a logical order. How come the mishnayos are not? Why does it start from the dinim of the Torah Shabbat Peh? So the Gemara has in a few places. I the dasilei midrasha chavivalei. The drashas of the Torah Shabbat Peh, where the Chachamim participated in developing the din. The Torah Shabbat is gevaldik. But the Rebbe Shalom dictated the Torah Shabbat word for word, letter for letter. So we can't negotiate, there's nothing there. But in the drashas of the Torah Shabbat Peh, we become shutvin with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in developing the din. There he gave us the right. And he gave the right to the Tamil Chacham in every generation. Tamil Chachamim who are qualified have the right to dash in the psukim. So that's what the Gemara says. The drushes of the Torah Shabbat Peh. I the dasi le midrusha chaviv alei. We appreciate that more so than the Torah Shabbat Chazal, because the Rebbe Shlom gave us the ability to become a shutuf with him. and developing the halacha. So over here also, that's Rav Soloveitchik's drasha. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Dabla Bnei Yisrael v'Yisrael, and Nachshon Berem Enodav had to go into the Yamsuf Sahid. The Bnei Yisrael had to participate in this aspect of the Geula, so that's why there was an extra course for the Shira. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives us the Shira. A lot of times the Ribbono Shel Olam sends people, Boel Parah, how does it begin, Boel Parah? Why doesn't it? The Mefarshim said, Ibn Ezra says, the others say, but he said, Boel Parah, say Lech Al Parah. When I send the Shliach, I say Lech Al Parah. So the answer is, you say Lech, if I'm not going to go there, I say, do me a favor, you go take care, you go to California and take care of this for me. But here the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to go with Moshe Rabbeinu, he's going to be there by Parah. So he said, Boel Parah, I'm going to be there, you come. So if he's going to be there, so what does he need Moshe and Aaron for? The Ribbono Shel Olam is going to be there, so let him take care. The answer is, he gives us a schia that we should become shluchim of his. What's the schia? So we have a concept, shlucha shalodam kemoisoi. So the simple pshat shlucha shalodam kemoisoi means that just like I can be mekadosh and isha, if I make a shlich, the shlich can be mekadosh and isha. I can be megavish and isha, I make a shlich, he can be megavish and isha. But in another sense, it means if I make a shlich, he's on the same level as the mishalech. So if the Ribbono Shel Olam encourages us and enables us to act as shluchim for him, he can take care of it all on his own. He doesn't need us. So why does he send us to do a shlichus? To elevate our level. We should become kamosa. We should be on the same level as him. There's such a Morgan Avraham in Hilchas Pesach when they talk about the institution we have, Mechiras Chometz. So let's say the guy who wants to buy the chometz can't show up on our Pesach. He sends a shliach to represent him. So we have a klal, ein shlichus lakum. A goy can't be a shlich for a yid, and a yid can't be a shlich for a goy. What if a goy makes another goy a shlich? When you say ein shlichus lakum, means no shlichus at all. So the Magen Avraham quotes a Masas Binyamin, a tshuva sefer from the early Svarim. Masas Binyamin says, ein shlichus lakum means a yid can't be a shlich for a nochri can't be a shlich for a yid, but a nochri for a nochri can be. Why? Because shluchus shalom kemoisai has to be able to be kamoisa. A yid and a goy can't be on the same level. They have no shaykhus. A yid can make a yidish shlich, and a goy can make a goy shlich. So the Ribbono Shel Olam makes us shluchim to take care of things for him. He's elevating our level. He makes us kamoisa. He makes us like his shlich, just like he's the Ribbono Shel Olam. He elevates us. So that deserves a special shira. When we become shluchim of the Ribbono Shel Olam, when we become shutfim, in doing the shlichus and what becomes shutman developing Torah Shabbal Peh, this is cause for an additional shevach, additional shira to the Baruch Hashem.
The Rebbe said the school of the Southern Parshas Amon is till 8:59. From 9 o'clock in the morning on, the school of the Southern Parshas is again Arab.